Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, all you lovely ladies. I am so excited to have you guys here again with me today. I am Leanne Fuller, and I want to welcome you all to Your Fuller Life. And before I get started in our show, I am just kind of on cloud nine. And have you ever had just one of those days where you started out in the morning and you think, you know, today is just going to change your life? And I went to this huge power event this morning, and actually it was all day today. It was through Women Ties, and what they did is they brought together all of the women groups that we have here in Central New York and spoke about collaboration. And I don't know how familiar everybody is with me, but I love to collaborate with women. I love to empower women. That's what I am all about. So this event was just amazing. So before I get started, I just want to tell you ladies that are in business, or even if you're not in business, just to reach out to other women. Find women that you are in line with and you have a similar mission, and work together and build each other up. So many of us women are so worried about competing instead of collaborating, and we need to stop. We need to work together. We need to build each other up. We need to have each other's backs. And today, my day today has been all about that, and it's just been amazing. So, and I'm just overflowing with excitement, and so I just had to pour that out there before we get started. So I hope you guys don't mind, but really just reach out to women that you are in line with and work together and just do grow together. And if we can grow together, we can make the difference in this world that this world needs. We need it hands down. We need every ounce of power that we have as women. I don't care where you are in your life, you have that power. You have the power to make a difference. Even if you're starting in just your life, your children's life, the lives around you, start one life at a time and work together and just build each other up. And I just want you to know that. I want you to know that you have that power. And I want you to use that power and work together. Like I said, so many of us women are so worried about competition and they're going to steal my clients or they're going to do this and that. And but that's not what we're about. That's not what we should be about. We should be about building each other up, growing together, and just making a difference. So now that I have that out of my system, in this segment of Welcome to Your Fuller Life, Identifying and Removing Blessing Blockers with Elke Clinton. And I'm so excited to have Elke with us. So I hope you're tuning in to learn what blessing blockers are, how to identify them, how to remove them, and then how to thrive when it comes to your finances and your career choices. We all experience those blessing blockers at various points in our lives. It can be what holds us back from accomplishing our goals or experiencing true happiness. So tonight, we're going to focus on how those blessing blockers influence our decisions when it comes to our career and finance choices. So you'll learn strategies and tools that are going to help you reduce or even eliminate those blessing blockers, those tolerations that are impacting our lives, such as being afraid that working with other women are competition. So that's just like a perfect example. It kind of ties in with this blessing blockers and just that fear that we're all competing with each other instead of working together. So Elke Clinton, I want to introduce her a little bit before I have her jump on with us. Elke is an educator, a career and finance coach, a best-selling author and speaker. She is the CEO and founder of Savvy Moms Unite. Unite, that is the key word, unite. As CEO of Savvy Moms Unite, Elke works with single moms to not only go after the career of their desire, but also become financially savvy. Her mission is to ensure that they secure their financial future by using simple and practical tools that assist in managing their money and investing in other resources that help them generate additional income for their homes. Alki knows what it's like to be broke, busted, and disgusted, and she strives to change her clients' mindsets around money and make money work for them. Alki's 10-year-old daughter inspires her to pursue her dreams. She is one of the motivating factors behind why she became a savvy mom. She is on a worldwide mission to inspire the next generation of women to not only dream big, but create a life that is best suited for them. Personalized dreams are the best dreams. So, Alki, how are you?
I am doing well, Leanne. Can you hear me? Everything sounds good on your end?
I can hear you. I can hear you. Okay. So.
Good.
I am so excited, and the Savvy Moms Unite and everything. Everything is in line, and like I said, I love to collaborate. That's what my show is all about. It's about empowering not only my guests to achieve what they want, but our listeners. And like I said, I love to collaborate, and I love the Savvy Moms Unite, and it just, it's all, it, everything, isn't it amazing how things just align sometimes?
No, it really is. I mean, you know, definitely when the opportunity came about, first of all, I would love to thank you for it. I like the opportunity to talk to different communities and different groups. So I'm really excited that I have this, you know, platform, and really thank you for having that collaborative mind. You know, I'm the same way. I think we get more when we work together, and it's always great to have that mutual benefit. You know, your community gets served, so does mine, and then we spread the word to so many different people, and we show that women can actually accomplish a lot when they do great work together. So this is right up my alley. As you know, when we spoke before, I was like, yes, this is so exciting, and single moms on my heart. You know, I my work, my passion, the reason why I will stay up late at night is because I want so much to see single moms win. And, you know, and that's basically my driving force.
Yeah. And, you know, we align so much in that aspect, because I have such a place in my heart for single moms, having been one for so long. And I know the struggles, as you do, you know. There's just so many struggles around it, and it doesn't have to be that way. And I think we're proof that even us single moms can achieve our dreams. We can do it. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's awesome. And I'm so thrilled and honored to have you here with us tonight.
Well, thank you so much, Leanne. I appreciate it.
Yes. So before we go and jump into any questions that I have for you, I do want to invite anybody who has any questions for Alki or for myself. You can jump on the show with us by calling into 657-383-1577. You just use the number 1 to get on with the show with us. And please, we welcome it. We'd love to have our listeners join us and chat and have conversation and ask questions. So please, at any time throughout the show, jump on if you have any questions at all. So in the meantime, Alki, you ready to get started with some questions?
Yes, I am.
Yay. Okay. So please tell us a little more about you, a little more than what I've already spoiled for everybody.
So, as you know, the bio read, I am a single mom. I've been one for many years. My daughter's now 10 years old. I do currently co-parent with her father. I didn't set out initially to be a single mom. It just happened. But I embraced it along the way. I embraced the journey because all I really wanted was to make the best life for me and my daughter. My background is I've been in education. I've worked in education. I've worked in healthcare, human resources, nonprofits. I've had a really great, diverse career, and I've been able to, you know, be a leader of my own department. I've been able to, you know, work from a small program to large corporations. So I've had a really awesome time on this journey of finding myself in this space. I'm also an Amazon best-selling author. I co-wrote a book with 13 other women, which is called Transitions, and I talked about my transition from going from a full-time employee at a boarding school to moving to Georgia and starting my business, making it, you know, grow from, you know, something I was just doing on the side and blogging to now like a full program with courses and e-books and one-on-one programs. You know, it's really grown in the last year, and I'm really proud of how far I've come. I'm a lover of learning, so if anything I'm doing, I have to be a learner as well. Like, as much as I love to lead, I'm always someone who is going to do the background work to make sure whatever I'm providing to my clients is up to date. It's, you know, innovative information and stuff that they can use, and making it easier because, as you know, as a single mom, it's tough to balance all what you have to balance.
Yeah.
Your struggle to keep all the balls in the air is like, it's constant. And so if I can find ways to make it so it's more manageable, then that's what I want to do. And then the career and money part became, you know, the pillars of the program, of my programs, because those were the two areas where I saw single moms really struggle. Because they felt limited because of, you know, I have kids, I can't go after this career. And then money was always an issue. So I'm like, no, these two things, if married, it can really do well for you if you figure out a way to make it work.
Wow, that's awesome. So while you're saying that, and I have questions, but you're talking about how marrying them and how to make them work. How does somebody do that? Like, how, because I know, like, I was a serial entrepreneur as a single mom. I always had the two jobs, and I always had that side gig going on, you know. So, but I could never jump into a full time because it just, I always felt it wouldn't work. As a single mom, you feel you need that stability. Right. So, how do you marry them together, like you said?
So I've always had a full time job for the most part with since I've had my child. I've always had a full time gig doing something on the side. I remember I was selling Avon at one point. You know, I've done some multi-level marketing company. I've tried to figure out different ways to do things on the side all the time because it was just not enough just to do the job. And it is, like you said, you have to make some decisions where it's like, I may need to go travel, but during my travel for work, it conflicts with something for my daughter or my child. And those moments have happened. And it's why I do eventually want to go completely full time with the business, because I want that freedom to be able to say, hey, you know, you have a game. Okay, I can just go to the game. I don't have to work out a schedule with my boss. So I've been able to do it with the support of, you know, family and close friends. I've been able to pull it off. Like, I was working at a boarding school. That was a 24-hour job, and it was just me and my daughter. So I tell anybody, if you can do that as a single parent, you can do anything. That job is very demanding. And, you know, I was able to do it for 4 years. And I was an administrator there, so I had a lot of responsibilities as well. But the way I looked at it was such a great professional opportunity that I didn't want to turn it down. So if it meant I had to navigate that as best as I could, I was willing to do it. Because sometimes you have to do that. Sometimes you have to take those opportunities, because if it's going to help you grow, then do it. But you do whatever it takes to make it work. You get support. I had a village. I had a great village of support mm-hmm. where I worked. It was a boarding school, so it was a lot of kids, a lot of families. So sometimes family, you know, we would share responsibilities. It'd be like, all right, come over to our house and have dinner. I'm going to cook tonight
yeah.
and vice versa. Or the kids can come over. Don't worry about it. Go do what you have to do. I was really
yeah.
grateful for that village to help out and when I wasn't always able to step in right away.
It does take a village, doesn't it? They say that,
yes.
and it really, truly does. It does. It does
you,
take a village.
You honestly can't. You can't do this alone, and you shouldn't.
Yeah.
You should not do it alone.
No.
Because your kid also needs to see other, you know, families, and just having other adults around is helpful. You know, I always give credit to my family. My family was awesome. Like, my daughter had three moms, like three, four moms.
yeah.
Because my sisters and my mom were like mother figures to her, and they helped in raising her, and they still do. They're still very active and very supportive of her. And without them, you know, she wouldn't have seen a diverse group of women in their path. You know, she gets to see my youngest sister be a business owner, a full-time business owner.
Yeah.
She gets to see, you know, my mom be a, you know, her grandma, her, like, she can really explore that relationship with her grandmother. So it's a mm-hmm. great, I would say, if you don't have the village, make one. Like, create
right.
one. You know, find right. other women who are in your boat. Find other women who understand the journey and understand the lifestyle, because your single friends don't get it. they don't get
right.
it.
Right.
They
right.
You know, they don't have that responsibility until they have it. And so if you have
yeah.
other women who are like, girl, I understand, it is a lot easier
yeah.
to manage.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's going to lead me to my next question, and then we'll get into some blessing
mm-hmm.
blocker questions. And
right.
So what do you see, because I know you're into the financing part, so what do you see
mm-hmm.
that holds single moms back the most when it comes to their finances?
Mindset. It's really
yeah.
mindset. I used to think it was cash. Oh, I don't have enough cash.
Mm-hmm.
I had a job that paid me very well, and I was still broke.
It's
cash. It's not cash, it's the mindset. When we've limited ourselves into thinking we're only going to make this much and that's it,
yep.
or we only have to make money through our job, then that's when we've
yep.
limited ourselves. You always have to think about, you could be one paycheck away from homeless. I know what that feels
yeah.
like. Like
yeah.
if I don't have this job, this job's income, I could lose my home. And that's the most frightening feeling for a parent, especially a single mother, who it's on
mm-hmm.
her to figure it out, right? So I would have a backup to the backup, have multiple streams of income. If anyone needs
yeah.
that, it's a single mother. She cannot, as you know, you are a serial entrepreneur, you need a backup to your
yeah.
backup.
Yeah.
And you have
yeah.
to have something put away. And I talk about the blessing fund. I like to call things
mm-hmm.
blessings because I feel like when you can create something from whatever you have, the current resources you have, and make great things out of it, that's a blessing. So even in our smallest amounts we have, we can create blessings. So creating that blessing fund to say, you know what, I'm going to fund my future. I'm going to fund my dream. I'm going to fund my child's dream. I'm going to fund
yeah.
somebody else's opportunity because I want to invest in that. That's what that blessing fund is there for, and it's why you have to start now. Like, you should,
yeah.
your next paycheck you get, you should start putting something away. Even if it's $20, you have to put
yeah.
something in your nest egg to invest and grow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those are the two things I think hold us back. We don't have anything as a backup, and we don't have multiple streams.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, I kind of want to add on that a little bit, because I know there was a time $20 was a lot of money. There were times when that's all I had for grocery shopping. It's amazing
yeah.
when you have to, what you can buy with $20.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Now I go to the grocery store and it's like $130. I'm like, how did I shop for $20? Like, ah!
Right.
but there are other ways to do it. Like, I have a change jar. Like, all of my spare change goes into this jar. And that's a great way to do it. I mean, there's times where that's what I used for Christmas. That's what I used for school shopping. There was one year that's all I had for school shopping was what change I'd saved up basically since Christmas, you know. So save your change. I've heard of things like people will, any $5 bill they get, they just stick it aside, you know. Just little things add up and make a big difference. So definitely, I love that, the blessing fund. So definitely building that. And like you said, it doesn't have to be huge. Any little bit counts. So that's awesome.
Yes. I have been saying, like, do $5 a week and increase.
Yeah.
Like, I have a strategy that I teach, you know, my clients. I'm like, if you're struggling to save, start with $5 a month and then increase it by $5 each month. By the time you roll around 6 months, you could have $500, sometimes $800 if you start with 10. That's better than nothing. $300 to save someone's apartment. $300 to save you a bill. Like, we think we have to go big when we talk about, you know, saving and investing, but it really starts small. Like, I always, I listen to Dave Ramsey a lot, and he had one time he told a story about a nurse who had, by the time she was ready to retire, $1 million in her bank, but didn't make more than $25,000 at one point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she was making so little. And she was still putting money away no matter what. And then she was like, I don't know what to do with this money. He was like, oh, my goodness, what a great problem to have, you know?
I know, right?
I was like, that's an awesome problem to have. But he was just saying how, like, this woman at one point wasn't making more than $25,000. And she just took money every paycheck and just put it away. And she was very disciplined. And here she is, she's retiring on $1 million.
Yeah.
So, and he basically said we have to learn to live below our means, and that's part of our issue too.
Mm-hmm.
Is we have to learn to live below what, you know, I always say, if you can get yourself at under 60% of your income, then you really are doing very well. It is hard in some areas because rent is just what it is. Living expenses are what they are, but if you can be so disciplined that you get yourself in a 60% range, you're doing better than most. Like, 70% of Americans on average are living paycheck to paycheck. And I'm talking low to middle class people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, it's not just single moms. Like, it's a epidemic.
It's everyone.
And, you know, if we all could pull back a little bit and say, really, what am I doing with my money? Am I being fair to myself? Am I doing the best work? Am I really looking at it for what it is? Or am I just excusing myself and making a lot of bad choices?
Right. Do you need cable? Do you need the newest iPhone?
I haven't had cable in 4 years. I don't intend to get it.
I went years without cable. I tell you, I have cable now, and all it is a fight over who's watching what. I'm like, are you kidding me? Let's just go back to where we didn't have it.
Half the time, I'm not even home to even enjoy it. You know, I'm always, you know, out or I'm in front of my computer doing something. So if it's on the weekends, I'm like binge watching anyway, so I'd rather just binge watch.
Yeah.
Than to wait for the show to be on at 9 o'clock and be in front of the TV. So, but that's a whole other discussion. I always tell, I'm trying to get my clients to do without it, but they don't want to listen all the time.
Yeah. Okay. So tell us, what is a blessing blocker?
All right. So we're getting to the juicy part.
We're getting to the nitty gritty.
What I like to call blessing blocker is, what we would describe as a noun, is people, places, things, it's memories, it's thoughts, it's perceptions of who we are, how others perceive us. It's, you know, it's things that block us from experiencing the greatness that we can experience in our lives, the blessings we can experience in our lives, the moments of triumph we can experience in our lives. It is what stops us from getting to that point. And it starts with us, where we are our biggest enemy when it comes to our blessings. Our thoughts can manifest great things. It can manifest the worst in our lives. And, I was listening earlier to a podcast, and it was talking about how strong our subconscious is. It is stronger.
Yeah.
It's the most strongest thing. It's so strong that it literally takes so much to chip away at it and break it down. And we have to do daily work just to get those thoughts out of our head. And so I would say, people will be like, oh, this person is, there's people in our lives who, we probably should remove. they could very well be blessing blockers. Actually, it could be a partner who you probably should walk away from faster than you can blink. It could be some friends. We have friends who, so-called friends, who aren't very supportive, cut you down at every chance they get, very jealous-hearted. Like you were saying earlier, like, oh, you're going to steal my client and all that crap. It's like, listen, we don't need that. That's not, we can all eat. The great thing about this business, we can all eat. Mm-hmm. Not everybody's going to come to me, and not everybody's going to come to you. So, having that mindset of I'm welcoming, I always have this mindset that whoever is in my circle will be blessed just as much as I am. And I don't want to have people in my circle who think differently than that. And if they do, me and them are not close. We're just not going to be close.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to eat. Everybody's going to have that opportunity. And so you have to protect your space. You have to protect your energy space. And that means with your thoughts, with what you internalize, what you listen to. Some of the stuff you listen to can be blessing blockers. Like if we're listening to a lot of negative commentary and,
the
people
news.
Talking about, oh my God, I don't watch the news. Like, I get my news from Facebook because it pops up on my feed. But if it's not on in the house, you won't watch it. Like, who's going to work with that knowledge in their head and trying to be pleasant to people? This is why we have to really tap into the way we start our day. Like, my sisters and my nieces and I have started reading The Miracle Morning. And we actually get up now at 5:30 in the morning, and we do a video chat with each other where we go through The Miracle Morning steps. And we do this, because we saw what the difference it made when we were very intentional when it came to our mornings versus when we just woke up in the, mad at the world and angry we were up early and trying to start your day. But when you really are intentional, when you like, I want my blessings to come to me and I'm opening myself up to those blessings, so that means you're releasing the stuff of the day. Because we have rough days, especially as a single mother. You go to work, if you're working, you're dealing with that mess at work, and then you come home and your kids need you, they don't give you a break, you walk into the door, it's like, mommy, you're just like, oh my God, give me a minute, honey. Like, I literally lock myself in the room for 10 minutes because I can't. You're pulled in so many different directions, and if you don't protect your space, your energy, your mindset around certain things, you will block your blessings. How many times, think about it, Ian, how many times have we talked ourselves out of things because we didn't think we deserved it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
absolutely.
Someone will come up to us and be like, hey, I'd love for you to do this project. I think you'd be great for it. And then you're sitting there going, what is this person thinking? Like, I don't know if I can do this. And you literally start going through the motions in your head about how bad you're going to be at it before you protect it. And then you
block
your opportunity.
Every reason you can't. Yeah.
And it's something I've had to untrain. Like, I've had to untrain myself in doing that because I did it for so long.
That's awesome.
So I'm sorry. I didn't mean to go on and on.
You're talking about what you're talking about, untraining those things, can you continue? Like, mm-hmm. how do we untrain? I'm kind of jumping ahead a little bit, but I want, like, mm-hmm. how do we untrain ourselves from that? Like, how does a person who has been, you know, as you said, as women, I think even as human beings, but as women, we are our own worst enemies. I say that all the time, you know, and how do we undo that?
It's a daily practice. You can't say that you did this for 2 weeks and you're healed. Just imagine how long you've been on this earth and how much stuff you've heard and how many things you've been told and how many times you said things to yourself. Oh, you're horrible. You failed. You didn't do this right. You're too fat. You're not pretty. You're not this. You're not smart enough. How many times have you told yourself these things over and over again?
Yeah.
You have to get up every day and do work. You have to imagine that you've already accomplished certain things. Like that affirmation only works if you believe. And our belief system is the strongest thing we've got. When we believe wholeheartedly in something and we're passionate about it, we tend to act on it. And so we believe we are the very best at something, we will get it done. So sometimes you have to tell yourself, you know what? I am the best mommy right now. I'm the best mommy I can be. My kids may not have exactly all the things I wanted, but they're good. Think about all the good you've done. Start celebrating your wins. Because I wouldn't do that. In my first years of my daughter's life, I thought I was the most horrible mother. Like, I thought I was terrible. I was like, I'm a horrible mom. I don't know what I'm doing. This poor child is not getting what she needs. I can't train her at home. I didn't teach her how to read on time. She didn't learn math for me. What kind of mom? And I beat myself up for years. And then I was like, I had to start saying, wait a second. Wait.
Mm-hmm.
What went right in this situation? She had a roof over her head at all times. She had food.
Yeah.
More than enough food. She had loving family around her, like my mom, my dad, my sisters and brothers, my brother-in-law, who's a great father figure to her. Like, she had so many loved ones who would dote it over her. Like, I mean, it would be to the point where people would be like, don't worry, I'll take her.
Mm-hmm.
Go do what you got to do.
Uh-huh.
Like, she had so many people. I didn't buy clothes for her, for the most part, for an entire year.
Yeah.
People just came around and was like, oh, she needs this. Come on. They just bought stuff for her. Like, I bought her maybe 3 outfits her first year. Those were the blessings that she received. And she's a smart kid. She's very bright.
Yeah.
She's very creative. She's very outspoken. She's an awesome kid. And once I started to really look at all the good things that happened, that's when I was like, wow, I did pretty well. And I have to give myself credit for that, because if I don't, I would still be sitting there like, yep, I ruined this child's life. She's done. And it's like, no, you didn't ruin her life. She's good.
I laugh at this, and I only laugh because I thought it was just me, you know. It was, I kid you not, there was a time in my life, my only goal in my life was not to inevitably screw my kids up. You know what I mean? That was my only goal I had. For years as a single mom, I had no goals. I mean, like, think about a 5 years or even a month from that time. Nothing. That was my goal in life, was not to screw my kids up. That's still on the fence
I think that's pretty across the board. Like, we, for the most part, that's our ultimate goal. We don't want to ruin our kids. We don't want to ruin their lives. We want them to be well-rounded, you know, full of life children. And it's the guilt. We put so, part of, you know, removing these blockers is that pressure. That pressure to meet this expectation that is not real, that no one gave us. Like, no one gave, like, at the end of the day, no one came up to me and said, you better be this kind of mom or else.
Yeah. Yeah.
No one did that. I put that pressure on me. And society sometimes puts, you know, unfair expectations on us because they tell us, you know, they you start seeing images of what this perfect mom is, and you're like, I'm not that. Like, you know, when we lived in Massachusetts, you know, as I said, I worked at a boarding school. The town we lived in, a lot, there were a lot of stay-at-home moms. And so when when they would have, like, these events at Adriana's, my daughter's school, they would be like, oh, are you going to bring this, you know, item to school? And I'd always be like, listen, I'm going to go to the store because I really don't have the time. And I remember talking to some of my coworkers. They're like, I can't stand those single moms, those stay-at-home moms who, like, bake these elaborate things. And they have time. I said, listen, I'm not even mad at them. They have the time to do it. It's great.
Right.
I'm like, listen, honey, you do it for the kids. But me, if I have the time, I'll do it. If I don't, I'm buying something.
Yeah.
And just, we all have different challenges. I would talk to the stay-at-home moms, and their challenge was like, I don't have time to pee. I don't have time for myself. Like, I'm literally at this child's beck and call all day long. So we're all dealing with various things in our capacity as mothers, and comparing the two is silly.
Yeah.
Because our stresses are different, our expectations should be different, and it's personal. Like, my level of success as a mom should be different from yours, and it should be different from my sisters and whoever else I'm in contact with.
Right.
It should be, you know what, my daughter got to school on time, successful. She woke up and she, you know, she made all breakfast. She's now independent enough to do that. That's success. Like, making it, even if it seems small in your mind, it's still a big win. Your child didn't have a, your child made it through the day. You made it through the day. Y'all are good.
Yeah. The kids are alive. You're good.
Right. They're alive. They made it through the day. No one got hurt. You know, like, it's just things like that. Like, we have to laugh at this stuff because we really do put intense pressure on ourselves, which then we go into this negative tailspin, which then blocks things coming to us because we can't see our way out of stuff sometimes. And we're just stuck. We're stuck and we can't move forward. And the last thing I want any mom to experience is that I can't move forward. I'm so destroyed in my mind by what has happened to me. I feel like I can't do better than what I'm doing. And it's like, no, you can, you have the capacity to do so much in your life. And until you see that, you won't.
Right. 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 And, you know, I just want to say, because along with overcoming that, and like you said, it's work, it's hard work. It's not easy work either. It's hard work, and you'll be heading down that road and you'll be doing great. And then all of a sudden, something will happen, and you'll be like, what the hell? You know, everything's going. Isn't it amazing how everything's going great, and then all of a sudden something really bad happens, and you're like, see, I'm not meant for this. But that's where the subconscious comes in. Like you said, that subconscious is so strong. That's like, there. You've got alarms and warnings going off. Oh, that, wait a minute, this is different. What's going on? So that's like your subconscious saying, wait, what? You know, it's like a panic, you know. But that doesn't mean you don't pick right back up and keep going, because crap happens. It happens to all of us. But we just have to keep going. That doesn't mean that things have changed for you. That doesn't mean that you're not worth it. You still have to keep going, and I think that's awesome. So, and it is. It's a process. It's a daily process, and it's a lifelong process. I mean, you have to keep doing that work, and you can overcome those things. So that's awesome. Thank you so much.
Yes.
So, okay. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, in terms of, like, that point, your bounce back needs to be stronger every time.
Yeah. But
it has to be stronger. Every time you get back up, you start You have to be you have to be stronger, and that's really part that's really the heart of it.
Yes. And I always think of it as a trampoline. Like rock bottom is like a trampoline. Every time you hit rock bottom, just like every time you hit a jump on it, bounce on a trampoline, you go that much higher. And every time you hit it, it's like you're building that foundation to make it that much stronger.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So, yeah. That,
absolutely.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. So we kind of jumped over this a little bit, but I do want to go back. Like, and how do we identify these blessing blockers? How do we know what they are?
Part of it is being really in tune. So when I say in tune, you are very observant of things happening around you. Because sometimes we kind of go through the day and we're very, it's almost like we're robotic. It's routine.
Yeah.
So we just deal, you know, we just kind of like, okay. But you need to stop and think what's happening with your day, even if it's like you're journaling your day. Or you're paying close attention to what people are saying around you and doing and their actions and how it might be impacting the way you feel and how you show up in the world. So, for example, if you're in a toxic work environment and you start to notice things happening, you are now involved in the gossip or you're now involved in the complaining about the boss. You may not have even had an issue with the boss. But because people have been complaining so much about this person, you now start complaining about them. And now you're part of the process of regurgitating that negativity. And you can't.
Called entertaining complaining.
Yes, entertaining complaining.
Yes,
if you're
entertaining complaining.
Mix, if you're always in the midst of people who that's all they do, that's a blessing blocker. Because when we complain, our brain starts to tell us, there's a lot of stuff happening that's not right. And so your body just becomes, your body starts reacting to you. You'll notice you even become tense and you're angry. You don't find a way out. You don't see the solution because all it now is, let's just talk about all the problems we're having. Let's just talk about everything going wrong in our life. And then when do you get the solution when all the time you're, like I remember one time I was sitting with some former coworkers and all they did was complain. And I said, okay, so what's the solution? What do you suggest we all do now? You've spent 15 minutes complaining. What is the solution? And they all looked at me like, it's like sometimes you got to be the one to stop people and say, hey, you're blocking your blessings. Like, let's find a way out of this. Does it mean that we go and talk to, you know, our boss about this as a group? Like, I was always the one that was kind of like, all right, but what's the next step now? It's good that we discuss this, but where do we go from here? That should be the next step in your mind. It's like if you sit home and you're on the phone with your girlfriend or your cousins or even your sister, me and my sister, we have to check ourselves too. We got to be like, listen, girl, we complained for a good 50 minutes. How about we find out a way to get out of it? You know, you got to You know, be in tune with your energy level. Are you coming home extremely exhausted mentally? What's happening to you? You know, are you experiencing those energy boosters? Are you, you know, are you doing what you love? Because sometimes even the job we're doing is a blocking blesser. It's stopping us from seeing opportunities and being challenged and growing as a professional. So that's blocking our blessing. Maybe we need to leave it. Maybe we need to explore another opportunity while we're there. You know, that's like identifying and really it's your emotions, tapping into your emotions, your thoughts. Are you having a lot more negative thoughts than positive? Are you are you reacting strongly to things all the time? Like you're always kind of angry at something and you're not really dealing with the real emotion of it. Because sometimes a lot, especially with our kids, you know, our kids are our closest thing, especially as a single mom. Like, they see us at our best and worst. And when we are in our, you know, mess, we react to them very strongly. And it's like, wait a second. Yeah. It's not you. It's me. Yeah. I got to check myself. Pull back.
Yeah.
Pull back. What am I doing?
Yeah.
And who am I really mad at? Let me process this and deal with it the proper way.
Yeah. Awesome. That's awesome. So I know we've talked a bunch already about overcoming them, but is there anything else you can add about how we overcome these blessing blockers?
Sure. I mentioned in the event page that there's a little trick that I like to do when those kind of things start showing up, especially when it comes to, you know, money situations I've had or decisions I'm making in terms of my career. And whenever I have those thoughts, like I think about one of the hardest financial things I've had to deal with, and that was possibly losing my home. And it broke me. Like, it scared the life out of me, because I was like, the one thing I always feared, and it's my biggest fear, is losing a place to live. It's been a fear of mine since I was a kid, because I experienced that as a kid, that threat of losing a home. And so that manifested into my adulthood, and that fear is very strong. So when I faced it at one point, I was really emotionally broken. But what I did later on, when I sat there and thought about it, I said, listen, I'm still here. It's not gone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to lose the place. I thought I didn't, because what when you think you're about to lose something, what do you start doing? You panic and you start reacting.
Yes.
So what would I, you start, I could have started packing up the house and being like, well, it's done. We're gone. Like, we can't live here, right? But I didn't do that. I started, you know, acting as if we were still here. I kept going. I mean, this was weeks of me dealing with it. I was just like, I didn't move a thing. I acted as if we were already on the other side. And thankfully, things worked out. You know, things came through.
Yes.
I had to change my thoughts around it, because the way I would have reacted years ago would have been like, I would have been crying for 2 weeks. I would have been like a mess for 2 weeks. Like, oh my God, what am I going to do? And like, it would have been ongoing. Yeah. But no one knew. No one had a clue, because all I knew was there's another side coming to it. And yes, I had to do some inner work sometimes. But every time I had a thought that something was going to go wrong, I started thinking about what was going to happen next. I was like, you know what? We're going to come home and we're going to have this. We're going to have dinner. I started thinking about dinner. I'm going to cook this for dinner. Or I'm going to, you know, I'm thinking about my daughter and doing homework with her. I'm doing something for my business. I just started changing immediately. As soon as those thoughts came into my head, the fear of losing something, I started thinking about what I was gaining. I started thinking about all the times that I've been in situations where I could have lost something, but I didn't. I thought about the 9 months I had no income from a steady job, and I survived it. I said, what would be the difference now? I have to start thinking that way. I have to really remind myself, you've been close to a point here before, and you've survived that. What makes you think you can't do it again? And my faith, you know, maybe not everybody on this call has, you know, has beliefs that I do, but my faith, my faith is very strong. Stronger than it's ever been in my life, because I've had to be that way. I've had to grow in my spiritual journey and really have faith in God and know that God would carry me through, even at my very weakest point, even when I fell apart. I had to believe that things were going to be okay. And that really was my biggest strength. And if you're not, you know what, if you don't have any religious affiliations or any beliefs at this point, you got to believe in yourself at least.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got
to believe
you have the tools, you have the capacity to overcome whatever is put in your path. It may feel like it's not going to happen. It may feel like you're broken. I know that feeling. I can tell y'all more than you realize. I know the feeling when you feel like you're not in control and you have no one to turn to. But you do have an opportunity to build yourself. And these are these moments have to happen to make us greater.
Yes.
Because if everything was all good, what would we learn?
Yeah. Yep. There's no purpose without pain. We don't ever grow if we don't ever pain. And the fact that you say you've been broken, we have been broken. That's how we are where we are. We have taken those bits and pieces that were broken. I have this, I like to compare life to a Jenga game. And when I do events, I have women fill out on the Jenga game what does their solar life look like. And I love to compare life to a Jenga game because every day we make these decisions. We choose, just like the Jenga game, we choose which block. Sometimes our life comes crumbling down around us, just like Jenga.
Yeah.
And you have two choices. You can quit or you can pick up the pieces and start over. And that's why we are where we are is because we have picked up those pieces. We have been broken. We've picked up the pieces. We've put them back together again, and we've come back that much stronger. Just like you said, every time you bounce back, you come back that much stronger. And like you said, with the shift, when you could have lost your home, you shifted your mindset. And what we focus on is what we get. So if you were focusing on and packing up for losing your house, what would have happened?
I would have lost it.
You would
have
lost your house. Yeah. But you took the exact opposite.
Myself otherwise. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. You shifted that mindset and you focused on having your house and keeping your house, and that's what happens, and that's what we don't realize is where we put our focus is what we get.
Yes. Say that again.
Yeah.
Say that again.
So
where we focus what we get
is what we get. Yeah. It doesn't matter. If you say you're right or wrong, you're right.
Yes.
Because that's just the way where we put our focus is what we're going to get out of life. So if you're living in this broke mindset, this broken mindset, you're going to stay there. You're going to stay broke. You're going to stay broken. So if you're in this mindset, you're going to live paycheck to paycheck. You're going to continue to live paycheck to paycheck. But if you shift that mindset into, I'm going to have some savings, and focus on the savings, like you said, even if it's a little bit a month, you're going to start getting some savings. Even, you know, if you don't think, you think that $20 is too much, that $20 is going to start appearing if you focus on that and you believe it. And like you said, you can't just say it. You have to believe it.
Yes. Without a doubt. The belief has to be so strong that if someone would walk up to you at that moment and say, you're not going to get it, you could say, no, I am. And I'm telling you because I've done this, like, when I've had to, you know, I've been in situations where, like, it was like, this could go left in a minute. And I've had to say, no, it's not. And when I've been that, when I've shown that much conviction, is when it's worked out. Yeah. And I have to remind myself, remember that time when you told someone, no, I'm going to do this, and you did it? Keep reminding yourself of those moments. Remind yourself of the moments when you stood up to challenges, when you stood up to, you know, someone who told you you couldn't do something and you absolutely killed it.
Yes.
You know, people told me when I got pregnant with my daughter, I was 27. I wasn't even that young. And I remember people coming up to me and saying, why would you do that? Like, why are you having this kid? You're not even married. This wasn't a great idea. You're smart.
Right.
And me having to say, you know, what does that matter? I am going to raise her, and she's going to be a great kid. And thinking at that moment, I didn't care what anyone said at that moment. I was going to raise my daughter, and I was going to do the best job that I knew how to do it. And I didn't want to believe the statistics that were out there about single moms.
Yeah.
That's all I knew. I didn't really know a lot. Yeah. I had some single mothers in my family, but they didn't fit the description of what we see out there. And so it was like I didn't want to fit that description of whatever they thought a single mom was. I wanted to defy it. And so I was like, listen, I am going to be a professional. I am going to, you know, do things. I am going to be a businesswoman and succeed because my daughter, who is looking to me, needs to see the strong, independent, willing to, you know, work her fingers to the bone type of woman so she can emulate that as she grows into an adult woman herself.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. So I do want to, if anybody has any questions, we have about 6 minutes left. So please, if you have any questions, jump on. It is 657-383-1577. You just use the number 1 to join us on the show. So if anybody has any questions, just jump on with us. We'd love to have you and hear what you're thinking, you know, what's happening in your heart and in your head, and let us know. So in the meantime, tell us what you would like the listeners to leave with today.
I would like for you all to leave with this thought in mind. You are much stronger than you ever believed. You have the tools you need. You just need to use them. And do not let these blessing blockers block you from what's coming. You have so much more in store for you. You have to believe that it's coming to you and already claim it. If you have the goal of putting away $10,000, claim it. Start acting like it's already in the bank. Write checks to yourself. Write notes to yourself. Do whatever it takes. That job that you've been pining over, go look at it. Look at the job description. Start putting those skills in play. Start learning about it. Start asking about it. Talk to people. Go to work like you got it. Start putting out posts for that interview like my coach told me to do. Act like it's already there.
Yes.
So that's what I would leave the group in.
I absolutely love it. So I have a question. You mentioned the miracle morning earlier. I have a listener asking, what is the miracle morning, if there's a quick answer to that?
All right. So the miracle morning is a book that was written by, and I'm going to totally botch this man's name, so let me look it up real quick. All right. So the miracle morning is a book. You can get an audio book as well. It's basically a story about a man working himself out of his most. It's by Hal Elrod, H-A-L-E-L-R-O-D, Hal Elrod. He pretty much died, and he talked about how he was able to overcome a major traumatic event in his life through changing his way of thinking. And he started changing his mornings. It was his intentions behind his mornings. And he gives you step-by-step instructions on how to start your morning and how to dedicate time to it and really engage in your morning so that you can have a really great day. And it really does help with blocking those blessings, as I, you know, spoke about. It helps you really shift your mindset. Mm-hmm. So it's a really great book. Yeah. I suggest anyone read it. It's been an awesome experience for me and my sisters and my nieces. Like, we love it. We love the book. We're still in the midst of reading it.
That's awesome. Maybe I'll look up a link and post it into our event. If any of our listeners want to, they can get the link right from there. I'll find a link on Amazon and put it in there for you. So that's awesome. So tell our listeners, where can they find you and connect with you?
You can find me on, I have a Facebook group called Savvy Money Mindset. You can join that group. It's geared towards single moms. So if you're a single mom and you're looking to really shift your mindset around money, that's a great group. I also have my Facebook page called Savvy Moms Unite that has all information on the business, products, and services that I offer. And I also offer a free download that actually helps you with different strategies on how to save money and doing different things with your money. And that link is I actually teach you how to save on your groceries because I was able to reduce my budget from $250 to now $160 a month.
Oh, sign me up.
So I show you how to
Sign me up.
On what I like to call our struggle savvy meals. So that link to that download is bit.ly/savvy on groceries. And I can post that link in the event group as well.
Oh, that'd
so if you
be
wanna
awesome.
Join, that would be
that'd
awesome.
That'd be perfect.
But yeah, looking forward to it.
Oh, that's awesome. Elke, I cannot thank you enough for joining us. And this is such great stuff. And I love doing work around the mindset and that. And that's what a lot of this is. It's our mindset and yeah. that. So I thank you so, so much for joining us. It's been great. It's been fun. Next week, don't forget to tune in, and you can join us for Welcome to Your Fuller Life. Boldly Say Yes to You with Audra R. Upchurch. So I'm excited for that for next week. And in the meantime, you can reach out to me at lovingyourfullerlife.com. You can contact me there and set up a free discovery call if you would like to work on mindset or anything like that. And again, you can reach Elke on all of her social media that she mentioned before. And thanks so much, Elke. Until next week, everyone, have a great week and live your fuller life. Mwah. Bye.
Thank you.